Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. President George Bush's mandate for defense transformation was, quote, to challenge the status quo and envision a new architecture of American defense for decades to come, unquote. Over the past several years, it has become increasingly clear that defense transformation is not simply a response to global terrorism, but rather a way to leverage the core strength of the U.S. Armed Forces, which is its ability to adapt and change. As the rate of change of technology continues to accelerate, it will be even more important that the U.S. military keep pace. With us this morning to discuss this critical challenge is our special guest, Terry Poutis, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces Transformation and Resources. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And joining us in our conversation is Chuck Proe, IBM's defense industry leader. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Al. Terry.
Terry, to provide our listeners an overall context on the subject of military transformation, could you give us a sense of the history, mission, and evolution of the DOD's Office of Forces Transformation and Resources, as well as its predecessor organization, the Office of Force Transformation?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Let me just sort of go back in time. So maybe 5.5 years ago when we first embarked on this journey, the president had declared transformation as a key priority. Secretary Rumsfeld clearly was charged with transforming the military for the new world, the new global security challenges in the 21st century. And so my former boss, the late retired Vice Admiral Art Zabrowski, was asked to take the challenge up. And the way we did that initially, of course, was we created an office that was intended to be a catalyst and a focal point for transformational thinking and try to jumpstart that kind of activity within the department. And so we went from that idea to creating a fairly modest office of about 15 people or so, began to develop concepts of transformation. What was it? First of all, everybody was kind of confused by this word. You know, what do you really mean by transformation and why do we need to do it? And of course, you know, change is always, you know, very frightening for a lot of people. So, you know, how is it really going to affect me? And so that was a lot of the work we did in the first several years. And besides just sort of developing the concept, we tried to look at, you know, what are some alternative views of the future? You know, what perhaps is some alternative logic for the decision makers as we run through this transformational activity. And we actually created some sort of what we called experimental articles along the way as sort of tangible examples of those things. So we went from there to last year when we realigned the office within the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy to continue that kind of work within the department. So essentially we went from sort of this, what is this and this is, you know, how is this going to affect me, to the culture of the organization actually changing in a way where you could move this activity from outside and more closely align it with the formal processes within the building. And so that's where we find ourselves today. We're a fairly young organization, obviously, but we're getting our portfolio together and developing the new relationships and, you know, and making decisions about where you engage in certain processes and the things you can do to continue the work.
Now, certainly this area of transformation is very broad. So I'm curious, what is the size of the budget that you manage, and have you moved up from the 15 employees in your organization today than you were 3.5 years ago?
Well, actually, the budgets remain fairly constant over the last several years, and it's fairly modest. I mean, we have probably around $5 or $6 million that we use to catalyze projects with, and research and studies and war gaming kinds of events, and we always do that in collaboration with other partners. So we just don't embark on these on it with ourselves. We try to develop a large community of interest in these things. And the size of the office is about the same. We have about 15 to 20 folks. Comprised of sort of government employees and military officers, as well as, you know, some outsourcing support, which we've done. And so, you know, the question is, so how do you do this with such a modest budget and few people? Well, you develop a lot of relationships with other folks. And so we have relationships with many of the think tanks in town and FFRDCs, or the federally funded research places, as well as academia and, quite frankly, and with industry. You know, we have all the large industries, you know, have groups of people that think about strategy in the future, and so we try to team with them as well. So you leverage a small amount of people and build a large virtual team.
Please describe your specific responsibilities and duties as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces, Transformation, and Resources.
Well, I'll try to be as definitive as I can. You know, the vision is really to align, you know, the transformational thinking, mainstream it within the department, as I said, and be connected to some of those formal processes, okay, that look at this future strategic environment, think about what future capabilities might look like, and then participate in the processes along the way that lead to the fielding of those kinds of things. And so that's a major undertaking, as well as to continue to, you know, sort of push the envelope and look at alternative futures, look at alternative capabilities, look at what technology opportunities might be out there from a policy perspective. And then part of my tasking is to be sort of the policy point of contact for all of those good transformation initiatives that are going on at the Joint Forces Command in Norfolk and, of course, Allied Command transformation down there as well. So that takes up a significant amount of time. And then, of course, we want to look broadly across all the general purpose forces to look where those interdependencies might be and highlight those kinds of things.
What are the top few challenges you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
If you've ever worked in a large organization, which I'm sure both of you had, that catalyzing change is always very, very difficult. And so, you know, that's one of the specific challenges, obviously, to do that. A large organization has a tendency to be bureaucratic, and so you have to find ways to deal with that and still be effective. For me personally, not having been within, you know, the mainstream here for some time, that's a challenge for me to understand how that works, and so we're doing that. And then, of course, it's always a challenge because there's very many competing priorities. But we are not necessarily charged with worrying about the near term. Our job is to be somewhat custodians of the future. And so to have that mix, you know, and still be relevant to some of the current things that are going on is always somewhat of a challenge.
Terry, we had a few moments prior to our show to talk a little bit about your career and some time that you spent with the German Navy. I'm curious, how did you get started in your career and how did you start with defense transformation?
It's very interesting. I had a career as a naval officer for 32 years. At one point there, during Desert Storm, I was working for a fellow named Captain Art Sabrowski, who I got acquainted with very well in the particular job that I had. And very interesting. And anybody that knows of him or has been around him knows he was a very unique individual. And so that was my association, the beginning of my association. We then parted ways and went on our own careers, and we ended up working together again up at the Naval War College in his capacity as president, and he asked me to be somewhat of a special assistant. At the time, his charge was to, you know, sort of catalyze transformation in the Navy. And so we worked very closely together for 2 or 3 years. And then, of course, he was asked to come and take this post, and he asked me if I would be willing to help him do that. And it's pretty hard to pass up, you know, a chance like that to really have a chance to contribute. And, of course, it's very hard. He used to talk about what he had spent his professional career doing, and he used to describe it as, you know, working at the intersection of national security and large-scale change. Okay, and there isn't any more difficult task, but there also isn't one that's more rewarding than that. That's sort of how I've evolved into this position. And then, of course, he stepped down a few years ago, and then I became acting for a couple years, and we continued to the mantra, and then I ended up where I am today.
Well, that sounds like a very busy intersection you just described there.
Yes, it is.
You use the term catalyzed change, and so I'm curious, how has your previous experience, your 32 years as a Navy officer and as a pilot, how do you think that's prepared you for your current leadership role and informed your management approach and leadership style?
Well, first of all, you know, to be a good leader and manager, you have to have some competence in a particular subject, which is always key. And I learned a lot from my former boss, obviously. You've got to be able to craft a vision for people, and then you have to be able to inspire them towards that vision. And so, you know, those three big pieces right there are the areas where you have to work very hard at. I had been, you know, in leadership positions in the Naval Service and in large organizations, and so I had some experience with managing people and different things. I also, of course, had a history of making my own changes. And so some of the things that I learned were that you have to make change a very inclusive kind of activity. You can't expect people to sit at their desks and wait for permission to think. And so what you do is you invite people into the process. You try to inspire them towards this vision, and then you invite them in to help craft their own future or participate in the transformation. And so I think, you know, some of those things I learned while I was in Naval Service, some of those I learned with my former boss, but those have been things that have sort of served me quite well.
That's great. What is the defense transformation? We will ask Terry Putis, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces Transformation and Resources, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.